You're listening to SBS News.
Russia has launched its all-out assault on East Ukraine, seizing its first town after unleashing thousands of troops in what Ukraine is calling the Battle for Donbass. In its first major reported success in Ukraine, Russia has seized Krymina, a frontline town of 18,000 people in the Luhansk region, one of the two Donbass provinces. Russia's foreign minister Sergei Lavrov says Russia will continue its campaign to liberate the two provinces.
The operation in the east of Ukraine is aimed, as was announced from the very beginning, to fully liberate the Donetsk and Luhansk republics. And this operation will continue. It is beginning, another stage of this operation is beginning, and I'm sure this will be a very important moment of this entire special operation.
Ukrainian officials insist their troops will withstand the new assault, which they say began with massive Russian artillery and rocket barrages and attempts to advance across almost the entire stretch of the Eastern Front. At least one person was killed in Ukraine's frontline town of Kramatorsk. In Mariupol, Russian troops again urged Ukrainians in the besieged port to lay down arms. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky has condemned the Russian government for blocking attempts to organize humanitarian corridors and save people.
The situation in Mariupol remains as tough as possible without any changes. Russian troops block any attempts to organize humanitarian corridors and save people, our people, the local residents who are in the hands of the occupiers. The fate of tens of thousands of Mariupol residents, who have been earlier moved to the territory controlled by Russia, is unknown. Unfortunately, we do not hear the answer to our exchange proposal, which can allow saving civilian residents and defenders of Mariupol.
In Kharkiv and in the Donbass and Dnipropetrovsk regions, Russian troops have increased the intensity of their assault, President Zelensky says. He repeats claims civilians are being intentionally targeted.
The intensity of fire by Russian troops in the Kharkiv direction, in the Donbass, and in the Dnipropetrovsk region has increased significantly. The same as before, they consider ordinary residential housing to be normal military targets. In this war, the Russian army will forever inscribe itself in world history as perhaps the most barbaric and inhuman army in the world. Deliberately killing civilians, destroying residential quarters and civilian infrastructure, and using all kinds of weapons, including those prohibited by international conventions, is already the brand signature of the Russian army. And this is such meanness, which for generations will mark the Russian state as a source of absolute evil.
United Nations Secretary General Antonio Guterres has called for a 4-day humanitarian ceasefire to coincide with Orthodox Christians' Holy Week observances. His office says Russia and Ukraine were notified before Mr. Guterres went public with his appeal. If agreed, the ceasefire would begin on Thursday and end on Sunday to mark Orthodox Easter, celebrated by most Ukrainians and Russians. Antonio Guterres says a pause in hostilities would allow civilians to leave and aid supplies to be delivered.
The humanitarian pause would provide the necessary conditions to meet two crucial imperatives. First, safe passage of all civilians willing to leave the areas of current and expected confrontation in coordination with the International Committee of the Red Cross. Second, beyond humanitarian operations already taking place, a pause will allow for the safe delivery of life-saving humanitarian aid to people in the hardest hit areas such as Mariupol, Kherson, Donetsk, and Luhansk.
United States Defense Spokesman John Kirby says Ukraine's partners have provided additional military aviation equipment.
I would just say, without getting into what other nations are providing, that they have received additional platforms and parts to be able to increase their fleet size, their aircraft fleet size. I would say we certainly have helped with the transshipment of some additional spare parts that have helped with their aircraft needs, but we have not transported whole aircraft.
British Prime Minister Boris Johnson says he's discussed plans to strengthen Ukraine with U.S. President Joe Biden. He's told Parliament plans to provide further weapons to Ukraine have been agreed following meetings with Polish and German leaders.
But the urgency is even greater now because Putin has regrouped his forces and launched a new offensive in the Donbass. We knew this danger would come. And when I welcomed President Duda of Poland to Downing Street on the 7th of April and Chancellor Scholz the following day, we discussed exactly how we could provide the arms that Ukraine would desperately need to counter Putin's next onslaught.
In response to Russia's invasion of Ukraine and the resulting supply chain disruptions and inflation rises, the International Monetary Fund has slashed its global economic growth forecasts for this year and next. IMF chief economist Pierre-Olivier Gorinchas says the war in Ukraine is increasing the uncertainty already heightened by the coronavirus pandemic.
Global economic prospects have been severely set back, largely because of Russia's invasion of Ukraine. This crisis unfolds as the global economy has not yet fully recovered from the pandemic. Even before the war, inflation in many countries had been rising, due to supply-demand imbalances and policy support during the pandemic, prompting a tightening of monetary policy. Beyond its immediate and tragic humanitarian impact, the war will slow economic growth and increase inflation.
Assam Al-Ghalib, SBS News.